Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. I'm your host, James Kennedy, CEO and co-founder at procurementexpress.com. We're purchasing software that takes the hassle out of managing your spend with magical features. And today I am very excited to introduce to you a customer of ours who's going to come on board and talk to us a little bit about supply chain and a startup and how that differs from the enterprise. So Alex English, thank you very much for coming today from Ion Storage Systems. How are you?
Wonderful. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you on board. I really appreciate it. Maybe you could just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what's the mission of Ion.
Absolutely. So I've been in supply chain for more or less my entire life. I was really interested in consumer electronics and everything from a young age when I, worked in a home audio and car audio store that my father owned and, really got the bug from there and enjoyed everything from testing the technology, getting really excited about new technology. And then eventually working in the industry where I did purchasing, procurement, eventually moving into logistics, planning, marketing, and finally, getting into the overarching web of supply chain involved in not only consumer electronics, but moved into chemicals, collectibles, and then now working at Ion in the startup as the supply chain lead, where we are working on the hardest thing that you could ever ask, a solid state battery or the holy grail of battery technology on the horizon. And, just a fast little idea about Ion. Ion Storage Systems is a startup that, was created back in 2019, spun out of the University of Maryland. And what I love to see and say is that our tagline is better batteries, no compromises. And I love to come back to that every time we're trying to make a decision, because if we're looking at something, something new to bring in, a raw material, or eventually a system like Procurement Express, we have to ask ourselves our question, does this help us make a better battery with no compromises? And what that means as a mission for Ion is that, lithium ion batteries, have had their day in the sun. They've been in there since well before, I believe, the 70s and, gained prominence. And there's a lot of things inherently wrong and challenging with lithium ion batteries. So what a solid state battery seeks to do is not only be faster charging solution, a eventually more economic solution, but for Ion, having less harmful materials in our eventual batteries, and then really increasing the adoption of these technologies with things like removing range anxiety for electronic vehicles, or in my case, consumer electronics. One of the problems with current solid state batteries on the market is they need a compression, aspect of the battery itself. And while this could probably work for grid storage or eventually electronic vehicles, for things like consumer electronics or, your cell phone, you really need to have that smallest, profile possible, and you can't add that extra compression. And what Ion, with their proprietary technology, does is eliminates that compression. And so what you'll see is just a far superior, thing that is out on the market right now. We're, in constant development for the best things, that we can bring to market. And coming with that, as I said, better adoption, eventually a better solution, for the environment, because, without harmful materials in our batteries and then increased adoption, and we'll, decrease the reliability on fossil fuels right now. In general, like I said, the mission of Ion is better batteries with no compromises, and it's something I can appreciate every day.
Very good. Okay, so it's interesting you have a line through your experience there from consumer electronics all the way to today. So I guess the it's a good continuity there. And ions technology, is it the method that it creates the battery, and it's not so much the how you make the battery? Like, I guess you have an anode and a cathode, right? And it's the way it's put together. Is that the difference? Is that the innovation, or is it the actual substance that you use to make it?
So it's both the substance and how it's put together, because right now solid state batteries have been an idea for quite a while, but manufacturing them at scale has been a problem. We have brilliant, you know, scientists, we have brilliant directors and a CEO who made just, you know, tons of batteries for Apple in his experience. And you know, we put all that together to make a unique solution. And you'll forgive me, I'm being a little vague here because some of that is proprietary and, you know, I'm unable to speak to it. And plus, there are way more intelligent people to speak on, you know, the solution than I am. But not only do we have a unique chemistry, a unique method for assembly, but we are working on the development and manufacturing, you know, of the solid state battery at the same time. And what that does is, you know, just puts us, you know, in a position where you don't see some of the other people in the industry, especially those in the solid state, you know, market.
Yeah. So this is a very interesting move in your career, I guess, because founded in 2019 and you've been there about a year. They've obviously grown to the stage where they need to professionalize their supply chain management. And did that impact your decision to move to, I guess it's would you call it a startup or a scale up?
You know, I would definitely still call it a startup. When I joined, there were under 50 people, you know, in the organization. And it was honestly a unique challenge because I've been with larger organizations. I've been with some that are in scale up, some that are already in, you know, production, you know, that are working on just in time manufacturing or Lean Six Sigma, you know, manufacturing. But, you know, coming into a space that was still largely dominated by research and development, while at the same time working on this production aspect, was a really unique opportunity to get involved. Like, I don't want to say at the ground level because I wasn't back there in 2019, but it was a really unique time to get here and make a stamp on the organization. And one of the things I'm constantly attempting, you know, to do here is that I have, you know, decades of experience of things that have worked and things that haven't worked. And when we're bringing on these new solutions or when we're working on new technology or, you know, coming across things that I've experienced in the past, trying to bring that experience and help, you know, guide us in a direction. But it's also a great learning experience because I'm getting to experience more work with an R&D environment and, you know, scientists and engineers that are either, you know, straight out of their, you know, university, or, you know, this is their second or third job, or in the case of our CTO, he was the graduate student of, you know, the one of the founders. So we've got a really unique mix. And for me, it was a challenge, you know, to come in and not only see what we had to do right now, but plan what we needed in, you know, 1 year, what we needed in 2, 4, 5, you know, 10 years, and being able to get at that ground floor and hopefully get us started in the right direction so that when we do grow and scale up and, you know, we are, you know, this major player, that we have a great foundation, you know, especially in the purchasing, because as we've seen in the past several years, that organizations can live and die by the supply chain. So, you know, having a good one set up and having one, you know, working in a reasonable manner is just absolutely paramount.
For sure. I mean, you know, I often consider for in any business, you're basically just your business is only as good as your supply chain. Like, it's just a collection of your suppliers and your employees and the whole team together. It's just a synergy there. And the supply chain, the quality is ultimately the quality of your company. I've been interesting, you know, you've seen the full Six Sigma, Lean Six Sigma experience with all the bells and whistles in your previous experience. And then I'm guessing you can't just dump all that in a 50-person company with, you know, people who just come from university and people with different backgrounds. So it's an interesting to say, okay, well, what for you was the must-have? Okay, the minimum viable, you know, thing that you took from the full experience that you needed to put in straight away when you moved.
One of the main things that I saw whenever I moved over to Ion, and, you know, what is inherent with the startup and, you know, more of a research and development organization, is that there was, let's call it, just a more of a flat organizational structure, which can be fabulous because everyone has access to every level of the organization. What that also brings some challenges is that you need that structure. And what I saw and what was, you know, kind of impressed upon me with my VP of supply chain was that we needed some better method in order to get these requisitions of all the various needs in the entire organization. Those that are working on scale up for production and those that are working in research and development. Those are two totally separate needs, but they all need purchasing. And what we needed is to be able to speak the same language in that purchasing. And going with a requisition software ended up being, you know, the largest contributing, you know, factor because, yeah, fine, anybody could email saying, hey, you know, can you purchase this off Amazon for me? Or, you know, here's a quote from a supplier, have fun, you know. But, you know, we really needed something a little more streamlined. And then when it came to the approval process, you know, I've worked with, you know, billion-dollar organizations that still run a lot of their stuff through Microsoft Excel, which is a great tool. It's fine. And then, you know, I've worked with those that work in a full-blown ERP. Ion just wasn't ready for that. And, you know, in order to get this adoption from everybody, not only did we need that simpler requisition, you know, software, but we needed a really good linear path for approvals, you know, because in, you know, the, you know, before using this requisition software, if someone, you know, blasted out an email saying, hey, I need this approved, it was kind of a race, you know, who could approve it faster, you know, and let's say the you know, chain, you know, that needed to approve a manager, a director, a VP, and then eventually, you know, C-levels, you know, it wouldn't necessarily get in that linear, you know, progression. And, you know, we had worked so hard on the human capital aspect, you know, getting these wonderful, you know, managers and directors, VPs with, you know, just decades of experience. And some of them were getting skipped because, let's say, the CFO just hit a, you know, responded approved. So where was the value in getting the other team? What we loved about Procurement Express and, you know, in general was that communication that everybody could have along the way. And what they loved is everybody had the visibility in order to make a educated decision on approving an item. And then, you know, as I mentioned before, we really needed to look at what do we need in 5-10 years. And, you know, one thing that I had seen in pitfalls, you know, in a smaller organization is they didn't have as much tracking in the beginning as they did or required whenever they got a full-blown ERP or, you know, wanted to bring in more investors or things like that. So I really, truly, you know, understood that we needed all of that tracking. We needed all that history and documentation. And what came with the system, at least with Procurement Express, was the mechanisms to do all the work, but also the history to back it up. And, you know, that is just really what we needed for an R&D organization that had never done something like that or only had limited bookkeeping. You know, from approvals and order perspective, this has just been a game changer, you know, for us.
Yeah, I think your experience there is very common in what I've seen in customers is that they at a stage, the idea of implementing an ERP is just not going to fly. There's a lot of political capital you need if you want to run a project like that. It's a higher risk. And if you do the research, you'll find, you know, us and our competitors, there's a bunch of us that are in that Goldilocks zone between the spreadsheet that you talked about. Like, it's quite a contrast, right? It's a spreadsheet or it's SAP. It's kind of, God, there's got to be something right in the middle, you know? And there is, you know, that solution to put in. And a lot of people, I think, have a fear of putting in a bigger system because, you know, the reputation it has for trying to get it implemented and getting adopted, especially. Yeah, I mean, and then how is adoption being for you now that you have put in Procurement Express, which is something which is far lighter, right? So we're talking right a couple of weeks to get going. So yeah,
that is honestly one of the more brilliant aspects of Procurement Express. I, you know, like you mentioned, I have implemented plenty of systems and worked in systems, at some form in their life cycle. But I can tell you, I've never seen the adoption, you know, of a system as well as I've seen it here with Procurement Express. Not only did people understand it from a perspective of like, hey, this is just the way things are going to be, but really people saw the value for it almost instantly. And I couldn't buy that level of influence, you know, getting the knowledge and the understanding of a software that fast from, my team. And again, these, R&D is, really fast, especially in a startup when maybe at some point you only have 10 people and, you want to get an order approved, you just yell over, the side of a room and say, hey, let me see your credit card, and understanding that, yes, it's going to take a few more minutes to get something across, but, ability to have tracking, being able to see where your order is at any given time and not having to bother, the admin person who is implementing the order, or even, having that consistent communication throughout the whole process and life cycle of an order. Not only, do people see all of that value, but, as questions have come up, we've used the system now. We've technically been live for about, 10 months or so. And what people are starting to see now is the value of being able to go back into those orders and say, hey, why did we make this decision? Well, the communication is all there. The documentation is all attached. And, even from a finance perspective, you can see moves that anybody's ever made. And then, commenting, with the connection to things like QuickBooks, has been, super helpful because there's been beforehand was a lot more manual process that it's now just, really taking over and working well for our team.
Yeah, that's interesting because that example you gave there of like, hey, can I get your credit card? Because what people think of is, yeah, in the moment, getting the credit card and just putting it into Amazon, that bit's quicker. But then there's the delivery. So it comes in and you're trying to figure out, well, who is that ordered by? And then the accounts team are getting a credit card statement with one line in Amazon trying to figure out, well, what was that Amazon for? So yeah, it took you saved you maybe 5 minutes max if you just had a credit card. But downstream, you've now saved everyone else on your team up to an hour of work. We estimate about an hour of admin work that's required to process any order that's not being tracked in the system, because they're the ones that you spend all day trying to track down and so on. So it's kind of a false economy to skip the first part, because all that it does is it ripples through the rest of the team, and there's a brilliant book we're really obsessed with at the moment here. It's called Making Work Visible. And it's kind of linked into Six Sigma, which we were talking about earlier. And it's Exposing the Time Thieves. The subtitle is rather Exposing Time Theft to Optimize Work and Flow. And one of the big thieves of time is like interruption. So as soon as you need to go to your admin staff, say, hey, or ask, has something been delivered? Or someone needs to come to you and say, hey, what did you use the credit card for? What's this charge for? Boom. Suddenly you've been interrupted. you're whatever you were doing, you're not working on anymore. It takes you 20 minutes to get back into what you were. And that's a huge hidden cost in the organization. Whereas if you can just go and get that information for yourself, look at the history all in one place, that's my personal bugbear. That's how you can create a huge efficiency in the organization. You know, you're across a number of people. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And one of the big things that I've seen, at least from the adoption perspective, is the barrier to use or the user interface is so low. You know, again, you know, there's an element of teaching to get scientists, engineers, and admin or whoever to, you know, teaching a brand new system. And, you know, I've worked with ERPs that have SOPs longer than War and Peace. And, you know, you just can't beat, you know, being able to create a 25-page PowerPoint and get everybody on board and get people, you know, using the system. And what's, you know, you mentioned these time thieves, which I would say is a brilliant, you know, analogy, but I would say that we've been giving these time gifts, you know, all the time, because as we've used the system, the ability to go back and see what we've done and the, all the documentation through there is really helpful. And, you know, especially, you know, as you're considering, you know, everything that can, you know, impact an organization. One thing that's different with startup that you'll see is culture is, you know, honestly, there's not that much hidden fees in that. You know, we're able to calculate how much we're spending on a daily basis, and that's real money. And if, you know, I'm able to simplify somebody's time, and especially my, you know, C-levels who are having to approve things and, you know, maybe having to get out of so many meetings to get approved things. And then in general, you know, the staff scientists and the research and development, instead of them having to learn systems that, you know, as I mentioned, could take, you know, hours upon hours to get in, they're able to get in there, do what they want and move on so that they can continue this research and development. And again, you know, we can do our mission and, you know, making a battery without compromises. So, you know, whenever you mention the time thieves, you know, I do think about those time gifts that we've gotten back, and, you know, it is appreciated.
Awesome. So listen, just to wrap up, let's think about the future a little bit. Obviously, everyone's talking about AI. Recently, I interviewed Jason Cohen on the podcast, and, you know, he describes it as in AI is just a new solution space. But the problem space hasn't changed. And I guess at the moment, a lot of people are running around with AI. It's kind of like a hammer. Everyone's looking for the nail. Where do you see in supply chain the opportunities are for AI and its application?
So with supply chain, a vast aspect of my job is research, in particular sourcing. Now, you know, I am far from, you know, the most experienced sourcing and supply chain. You know, my VP of supply chain has had more experience in the realm of battery, you know, space. But, you know, being able to ask the right question is often the most difficult aspect of sourcing. You know, if a scientist comes to me and says, I need these specifications and I need this kind of item out there, being able to ask Google, you know, exactly what I'm looking for is sometimes a little difficult. And, you know, it may take me more time to get on that pathway of where I need to be and eventually getting the results that will actually, you know, solve the problems that, you know, people are asking me for. However, with these large language models, with, you know, AI, I'm able to get at the heart of those questions a little bit easier. And even if I just can't articulate the question properly, I can put in, you know, exactly what somebody's looking for, and it can spit out, say, hey, it looks like the user is looking for X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, that's simple to turn around and Google that solution. So from a sourcing perspective, it's been fantastic. Another thing is when you're developing an organization, you know, going from a startup, what I can say is that you're writing a lot of standard operating procedures. You know, I've spent, you know, probably more years of my life than I care to admit, you know, writing, you know, SOPs, and, you know, being able to say to a large language model like ChatGPT and say, hey, here, you know, I want to write a procedure for receiving and have it just give me that outline and then let me flesh it out with my experience is just fantastic. And, you know, I can honestly appreciate the time savings there and figuring out the right question to ask or the right prompt, you know, to use. That's, you know, that is still a learning curve and it's still a challenge. But as far as the problems that this hammer is solving, for me, it is that time back, you know, being able to do sourcing, or instead of having to go down the rabbit hole of figuring out just the right question, it's, you know, helping me out pretty instantaneously.
Yeah, I'm smiling here because I'm thinking, well, I can use GPT to create my SOP, and then I'll give it to you, and then you'll put it back into ChatGPT to summarize it for you.
Right.
So we could cut out the middleman after a while.
I've seen comics where they said, you know, hey, ChatGPT, expand these 5 bullet points into, you know, a pair, you know, an essay. And then the other person on the other end says, hey, take that essay and expand it to 5 bullet points. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, inherent issues with it. Something that, you know, I didn't really get to mention as much with the AI, and it kind of moves away from the large language models, but looks at more holistic solutions for supply chain. There's so much data to crunch. To give you a great example, during, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic, we were having some difficulties with sourcing different chemicals. And there are so many variables that you just can't control for all of these. Whereas, you know, I've seen good AI solutions out there that can, you know, take a look at way more, you know, reams of data and pull that in to give you better forecasts, give you better solutions, and, you know, eventually, you know, optimize your stuff and, you know, work a lot leaner and work a lot, you know, more in just in time, you know, for that. And as Ion grows, I'm excited to try to implement those kind of things, you know, into our organization.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's the biggest thing in a technology for a long time that's actually genuinely being excited, you know, like something
right.
New. Like we had the smartphone 10 years ago, and it had been quiet for a while, and now suddenly it's like, wow, broken my mind. It has that feeling of magic, and like I love that when technology gives you that feeling of magic. How does that work? I think that's the best. Alex, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat to us today. I know you've given some valuable advice there. If anyone, are you open to people reaching out to you on socials or wherever to if they want to contact with you or have some follow up questions?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, probably LinkedIn, you know, is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me through there. But, you know, I try to be, you know, as available. As I mentioned on the outset, Ion is still, you know, got a lot of proprietary information. So I'm not going to be able to, you know, mention particular, you know, of the technology of the company. But, you know, I can definitely find the right people myself. I'm more than happy to help out, you know, with the idea of supply chain in a startup and eventually, like I mentioned, a great adoption of a requisition software.
Yeah, great. I can foresee that, you know, some of our listeners may be considering moving from a bigger organization to a startup. And maybe in that instance, it might be good to just get some of the lowdown on the benefit of your experience. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And yeah, thanks. And that's all we have for this week's episode of Growth Profit Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. So that wraps it up for another episode of the Growth Profit Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing, and leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts.